No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this 22nd day of July. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. This morning before the broadcast, getting caught up on all the latest news, went over to check out texastribune.org and was struck by some new reporting there about COVID-19 deaths in Texas. The headline, Texas has seen nearly 9,000 COVID-19 deaths since February. All but 43 were unvaccinated people. This, according to the latest data from the Department of State Health Services, DSHS says that works out to 99.5% of COVID-related deaths since February, all among the unvaccinated. If we were just talking about history since the height of the pandemic, well, that would be one thing. But this data feels all the more urgent as the percentages of positive COVID tests appear to have returned to levels of this past winter, above 10% currently in Texas. And the immunization rate here is only 42.8%, about 43%. That's of Texas's 29 million people. Earlier this week, an expert from Texas A&M warned of a coming COVID tsunami, particularly as the so-called Delta strain of the virus takes hold statewide. And that's why first thing today, we're turning to Jennifer Shuford. She is Texas's chief state epidemiologist. Dr. Shuford, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Could you tell us a little bit more about what appears to be behind this most recent rise in coronavirus cases in Texas? Are we really talking about the Delta strain, or is something else happening?
You know, it's this combination of the Delta strain with areas of people who are not fully vaccinated. We see this surge in cases happening at exactly the same time that we see this rapid increase in prevalence of Delta variant, not only here in Texas, but across the United States and around the world. So we do think that those two things are associated and that we'll continue to see increases in cases and hospitalizations because of Delta.
You know, I was talking about the historic factor, you know, when we look at the record highs back in the winter. Can you help us understand how quickly the virus is currently spreading in Texas relative, say, to other points in the pandemic?
Yeah, so right now we're seeing similar increases, like the steepness of the increases is about the same as what we saw with the first wave and the second wave of the pandemic. And that really speaks to how contagious this particular strain of the virus is, because even in the face of having 43% of our population fully vaccinated, we're still seeing this increases in cases happening as rapidly as we saw previously.
In which areas of the state are we seeing the greatest risk of transmission as you see it?
You know, we are seeing Delta in every region and community across the state. And so mostly the places we're afraid of is those little populations or those pockets where people are not fully immunized. Some of those areas in different parts of the state, just as a community, have a lower vaccination rate. But we also know that even within those big metropolises that, like, you know, say the Houston area, the DFW area, where overall they've got a good vaccine coverage going on, there's still areas of specific communities that might not have as great of a vaccine coverage. And so it's reaching out to those places to really identify those areas and get messaging to them that we've got vaccines in Texas. We've got plenty of vaccines in Texas. We just need to get them to the right people.
I want to understand, sort of zero in on these pockets that you're describing. We know that there has been resistance, sort of a social, cultural resistance in some places. We know also that there are underserved communities. So are there sort of key demographics that you are finding in the data that indicate where these pockets might be of special vulnerability?
Yeah, you know, we've been kind of surveying Texas to try to identify them. And there are some patterns that we see, you know, where there are some underserved areas or people of color who, you know, have really good reason to have concerns about these vaccines. And so those are places that we're trying to really get extra messaging out to let them know the data, the safety data and the efficacy data of these vaccines. And another thing that we're telling these folks is, you know what? Hey, talk to your doctor. They have a vested interest in your health. They've got lots of information. And so talk to your doctor and see what they say if the vaccine is right for you.
Why is it that people of color are especially vulnerable? You talked about the availability of the vaccine. Is it that those vaccines are not available in those communities close enough to the people who would benefit from them, or what exactly?
You know, that is something that we just continue to monitor over time to make sure that they are available in all of those places. We have tried to make them available in every community across the state, just to, you know, because they're in pharmacies and doctor's offices at this point, and not just those big hubs like they were at the beginning. And so we really think that we've managed to get them spread across Texas very evenly. But, you know, people don't always know about them if they are in their communities. And so we have set up some information so that people can find it easier. And if they can't use the internet to even be able to just call in and get an appointment. And so I think there's a lot of resources that are available currently on the DSHS website, and some federal vaccine resources to help people find vaccines in their community. Even if they think they might not be there, I think that they are there, and we can help them find it.
With just, though, 43% of Texans fully vaccinated, and with the rise in these cases, how concerned are you about outcomes if that figure doesn't increase? And what are you telling officials about next steps?
I'm very concerned about what's going to happen with only 43% of our population fully vaccinated. We know that, especially for Delta variant, that it is super important that people get their second dose. If they have a two-dose vaccine series, they really need that second dose to get full protection. And just trying to emphasize that, you know, if you're not fully vaccinated, it is, you know, we are recommending that you continue to wear a mask when you're out in public and with people who are outside of your household. And for anyone across the board, we know that there are going to be some vaccine breakthrough cases. So if anyone feels sick, they should stay at home and not risk spreading whatever they have to other people in their community.
Doctor, are warnings enough at this point? I mean, you know, if we had sounded the alarm earlier and taken more aggressive steps prior to the pandemic taking hold, a lot of folks are in agreement that we might not have had as many deaths or cases as we did earlier in this pandemic. Do we need to be thinking mask mandates at this juncture?
You know,
or more?
Yeah. And I think we are constantly reevaluating the virus itself, the kind of phase of the pandemic, and the tools that we have to work with, right? The tools in our toolbox. And, you know, masks are one of those things that has been shown to be really effective. And so it will continue to be part of our public health recommendations, and that, you know, then our elected officials can decide, you know, what becomes part of their statewide or community level policy. But I can speak from public health perspective, I know that is one of the tools that we are keeping in our toolbox for sure.
I understand that from a public health perspective and speaking as a public health official, you know, it's one thing to say we're recommending this as a matter of public health. But then you start to enter the realm of politics once, especially in the current political climate, once you start to talk about the issue of mandates, because it has been politicized. My question is the politicization now an obstacle? Is this a danger?
I think that as long as public health can continue to just provide information and interface with, you know, all of those folks that are leading our local communities or our state, that we can continue to just provide that insight and expertise. We're in a good situation here in Texas where we do have open lines of communication, and that even with local leaders, we're able to have phone calls once a week or every 2 weeks where we provide all of this information to local elected leaders so that they can know how to make, you know, those decisions. And so I think those lines of communication are open here in Texas, and I think that's something that we can be really proud of.
Anything else that can be done to slow down the spread of these new variants besides getting vaccinated if you haven't already? You mentioned masks. Anything else that Texas could do at this juncture?
Yeah, so all of those prevention steps that we've talked about will help no matter what variant pops up. For right now, the variants that we have circulating that we know about, our vaccines are still really effective, especially at preventing symptomatic disease, severe disease, and death. And so Our number one message is still that people need to get out there and get vaccinated, get fully vaccinated. There's plenty of vaccines. There's plenty of places to go get it, and that they work. And that's going to be our most effective way of stopping this and getting back to normal in Texas.
Jennifer Shuford is Texas's chief state epidemiologist. Dr. Shuford, thanks so much for taking time to talk with us on The Standard.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.